kind of together. And we were able to get together in Boston on my way up to Oprah. And we've taken it from there. So this is a new adventure for us, a new different adventure for all of us. And we're really happy that we're able to bring some of our inspiration and motivation to other people out there. You there, Kristen?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Okay. So they're saying that you're sounding a little fuzzy and hard to hear.
Okay.
But I can hear you fine.
Okay. Let me see if I can turn my volume up a little bit.
So George is having a hard time, and Emerald D says that it sounds fuzzy.
All right. Well, that could be just my phone, my crappy phone. I don't know. But we'll try the best like that. That's why we're doing this run today, so we can see exactly any kind of kinks that we have so we can work them out. I think we've got most people saying that, you say you can hear me. But anyway, getting back to kind of the relevancy of the show, we've been working to start a webisode, and that's why we started this radio show, is that we'll start to produce and put out webisodes every Monday on our Facebook page and our YouTube page and post them out on our social media sites. And then on Wednesday, we'll have the relevant guests, if they have appeared in the video. We'll have them on as guests. We'll also have advisory board members, including Dr. Stein, Dr. Nick, Josh Trent, Carrie Trapp. There's a lot of other people that we've got involved. And we want to bring these people in once in a while and as guests and people to talk about the show all talk about not only our weight loss journey, but what we want to really focus on as the main focus of the show is to promote healthy lifestyle and leading healthier lives. We all know what kind of problem with obesity we have in this country, and not only obesity but even the chronic disease as a whole. So we need to change, and maybe hopefully through this show and be able to show the success stories that we are gathering across the country, which are amazing stories in their own right. We're hopefully we'll have some of these on here tonight. I already see a couple on here tonight with George, and there'll be a couple other people calling in. They've all got amazing stories. They're all on these journeys to great health. They've all got different reasons for doing it. You know, obviously we all want to get better and feel better and get rid of disease and weight and stuff. But, you know, there's other side stories that we all have. And I think those are the things that we want to kind of bring out in the show. So I think that's kind of our basic premise of the show. That's a little synopsis of it. And I think maybe through this we'll be able to actually help a lot of people out there. Even if we only help a few, but I have a feeling if this goes the way we think it will, we'll be able to help a lot of people. We want to make it a community effort as well when we travel the country. We want to get the community involved in all the places that we go to actually be able to keep the success stories, not only start them, but also keep them going. And maybe we just start a whole domino effect through this country and we start enacting change all the way across. So. Let's see if we got any questions. I'm going to ask Kristen here if anyone has any specific questions that they might.
No, we don't have any questions yet. I was thinking maybe you could talk a little bit about what's going to be on the show on Wednesday and who your guest will be and preview of our special guest for Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So our first webisode, for those that you haven't checked it out, you can go to the Big Dreams TV check out our Twitter because it posts on Twitter as well. But we posted our first webisode, which was my first training session at Anytime Fitness here in Shrewsbury, Worcester. It's at 386 Shrewsbury Street in Worcester. The owners, Eric and Lori Rubin, great people. They've been able to provide us a great facility. It's brand new, top of the line. And I was able to have my first training session last Friday with Mercedes Dunn. And we went through a great little training session, or actually it was two Fridays ago, I believe. We just had another one. I did kettlebells this last Friday. But well, we posted the first one that we taped of me on Monday. And so that's who we're going to have as our guest on Wednesday. She will be coming on. She herself has a weight loss story. She has lost over 100 pounds herself. So as you can see, we kind of like, when we came up with the premise for the show, we really wanted to get people involved that kind of already are on their same kind of weight loss journeys, their health journeys. I think that makes us unique to all the other ones. And it kind of gives us a unique perspective apart from most of the other weight-related shows that we have. So we're hoping that was going to be a really good point for the networks to see that we want to try a different premise than the other ones have. But, yeah, stay tuned on Wednesday, and we're going to have Mercedes on as our guest. And we'll be talking about a lot of different things. She's also involved with the school systems, and we might actually want to talk about, some of the ideas, what we can do with helpful food in school systems, because we all know that the food systems in the schools right now are kind of atrocious across the board. That's why kids almost don't even like to eat at school. And I think if we're going to start to promote health across the country, we also got to start educating the kids right off the bat as well. So I think that's a great way to start. We need to act as role models, as parents, as family units to reflect to our children. I know just from my family alone that my family's been affected by what I've been doing for the last couple of years, including my niece and nephew and other people in my family across the board. It's inspiration, it's motivation, and like I said, maybe we get a domino ripple effect that can go across this country and actually help a lot of people. So we've got Amanda on the line. And
let me,
Amanda, how you doing?
I'm awesome. Good. So nice to talk to you. So I'm wondering, like, how does it feel versus, like, thinking back on your original videos, like the chair workout? I know a lot of, a lot of super obese patients start in that sedentary mode. Like, how does it feel thinking back to then versus now your first, your workout with Mercedes and, coming out of that shell, having a one-on-one workout with trainers and stuff? Can you kind of tell us how it feels, like, the difference in that?
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, the thing was that we all have doubts, when we start this and we think, oh, my gosh, you have those doubts in your mind. Can I do this? And I was the same way. When I came off of the hospital and I came home from rehab, I knew already started actually seeing and researching what I needed to do. But you still have those doubts in your mind. Can I do this? Am I going to be able to handle, even myself sitting in a chair? I didn't know if I was going to have make a difference. But as soon as I started to see that, because I knew immediately right there, they said, you've got to start movement, and even if it's sitting. And that's why I keep stressing, even on my weight page and stuff. There's a lot of people out there that just can't move. They've got arthritis. They've got, they hurt. They've got pain. I mean, I had severe pain. But that doesn't mean that you can't move. And I'm telling you, even minimal amount of movement is going to make a difference. I know it did for me. My heart rate went up. I was literally sweating inside an air-conditioned house. So I knew something was happening. But But again, I could only move so much. And then I was able to stand up, and it was a very slow process and a painful process. But yeah, the difference of being and sitting in that chair and barely being able to move to being able to do what I now am doing with these one-on-one training sessions, it's like a total different world. You know, I feel like a totally different person. My arthritis, which was so severe when I started, seems to be almost close to 70% gone, which is amazing. And, you know, at first I didn't believe that, you know, because I kept hearing experts say, your arthritis will actually get better the more you move. And, you know, in the beginning it hurt so much. I was like, what are they talking about? They're crazy. You know, this is not, it hurts so much. But gradually, month after month, it just got better. And it was like you're putting oil into your joints. You know, the more I moved them, the more the creaking and the popping and all that kind of stuff started getting less and less. And then I incorporated the weight. And, you know, I still got the popping in my shoulders and all that for a while. But then after months of that, it started going away. And now I'm just amazed, you know, like with the bike, that I can do like a 30-mile run at one time. It's just like, it kind of blows me away. And even Mercedes, she'll probably tell you this on Wednesday. She's like, I don't know where you get the motivation. And I told her the other day, we were sitting there and she asked me, and I said, you know, what I do is I keep this image of myself in my head, the image of who I want to look like, or where I want to be, which I'm not there yet. I mean, all of us are still in transition. And it was a funny thing. I was having that conversation with Dr. Amen when I was out in his at his house out in Newport. And he said, you know, that's what you are. You know, you're a man in transition. You're transitioning from an unhealthy person into a healthy person. And, you know, because I kept telling him, you know, I know I feel better. I feel 20 years younger. But then when I look at myself in the, I look at myself in the mirror, and I don't feel that way. But did I answer your question?
You sure did. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. So can I ask you a question really quick?
Yeah, please.
How was your little mini big dream of, did you go to that football game?
We did. We did go see the Cincinnati Bengals play, and it was awesome. I'm not going to say that it wasn't intimidating or overwhelming at times, and even still physically, like, super demanding and hard. But it was everything I dreamed it would be. I can absolutely not wait to do it again. And it was just kind of I don't know if overwhelming in a good sense, you know, for lack of a better word. It was amazing. It just was everything I had ever dreamed it would be. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I had actually thought about doing that, too, when I was still down in Carolina. And then the daunting part for me was thinking about, like, climbing all the stairs and getting to the seating and all that. And I was like, man, I just, like, you know, at that point, I didn't think I could still.
Honey, that is nothing compared to trying to park and get to your place.
Oh,
I
know.
That was the hard part, downtown parking.
Right. Yeah.
But it was awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. I surely can't wait to do it again.
All right, great. And thanks for calling in, too. And we'll talk to you
again.
Okay,
Steve, we have Z on the phone now with a question.
Hello.
Hey, Z, how you doing? Hey, Z, how you doing?
I'm good. I was just curious, what is going to be your first surgery when you do your skin removal?
Wow. Well, you know, when I talked to Timothy and we had a frank discussion about that, he said it's my preference, but he and both surgeons that I talked to, one in Charlotte, and he both recommended, they thought that the main brunt of that of the torso surgery, what they call an abdominoplasty, circumferential abdominoplasty, which is the main part of that total body lift procedures. There's several of them, but he thought that would be the main one to do, only because it's going to alleviate so much skin. So that main procedure will literally take up anywhere from he said 35 to 50 pounds of skin. You're going to immediately remove anywhere from 4 to 5, maybe even 6 inches off your waist immediately. What that also does is going to alleviate my recurring back pain that I still have. You know, it's not like the pain I had before when I had that tremendous belly up front. I never knew how much that actually weighed, but I guarantee it was way over 100, maybe more pounds. And that back pain was almost excruciating. But I still have that kind of recurring back pain. It's not as bad now. But he said that, and mobility-wise, Josh and I talked about it when I was at the IDEA World Fitness Convention there in L.A. You know, he said, your movement, you know, your balance. You know, I still have slight balance issues, and you know about this with our knees. We have knee problems. But, yeah, your balance issues are still off-kilter because you still have this excess weight kind of pulling on the front. Once that's gone, it's going to be I can't even wait, Jay, you know, because that is going to be, that's when I'm really going to feel like a normal person, because then my gait will be normal. I will actually maybe, I've actually been able to semi-run a little bit, even though every time I try, my knee kind of hurts. But just having that extra weight off again, having that relief, feeling like there's no encumbrance on me, I can't wait. And so I guess we will have to wait for that for the show. If I had my preference, though, seriously, if I had my preference, I would probably go ahead and do my arms first, only because that's what everybody looks at now. And I just saw now, when I looked at that webisode, I really saw how much excess skin I have on my arms now, because I don't usually look at myself like that much. But I see that so much skin, and I'm like, holy cow, that's a lot.
So, yeah, I got that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe I do get the arms quickly. Because he said that procedure only takes a couple days recovery, so that would literally be not a big deal. And which he also said, which is good, he thinks a lot of that stuff could even be insurance-related. I don't know about the arms, though. I'm not too sure. So we actually have to find out some more information. I'm kind of sad that I wasn't actually able to see him when I was out there the last time, but he had family engagements and stuff. So, but I'm sure we'll be talking in the near future and
cool.
Find out exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And I don't know. Maybe we even do the arm procedure here at UMass. You know. They have a really good guy, too. AJ was talking about that. They have a really good surgeon right here, right here in town. So I guess we'll find out. Does that answer your question?
I think V is gone. She was online, but Amanda's still online. She might have another question.
Yeah, she certainly does. So, Steve, do you have, like, a goal weight that you're trying to get to?
I do, you know, and at first it started at 250, and that was my main thing right off the bat, you know, because I was nearly 650, so I figured, my gosh, if I get down to 250, that's like almost 400 pounds. That's great, but since then it's kind of like changed, and now I've set it at 238 because that is actually the actual weight which where I will have lost 400 pounds exactly. I actually want to take a little further. I'm in my mind. I think now I've kind of put it at 230 to 225. And then, like I said, if you take that 40 pounds of skin off, that's going to drop me below 200 pounds. That will be the least I have weighed since I was a preteen, which means like 11, 12 years old. It's going to be crazy. I don't know.
I know.
How
exactly
that's
what
feel.
You're saying. Did they have a way to determine how much your excess skin weight? Because I'm getting close.
Not really, because you know what they did? All they did was like lift it up, and you know he's kind of like gauging in it. The guy,
like
even the guy in Charlotte. Yeah, he just did the same thing. He just kind of, although you would think they have some kind of scale that you could just like kind of, I don't know.
Right, like throw it on there, weigh it.
Right, I know. It's like. Throw it on there and kind of weigh it. You know, it's so funny because a couple times way back, still when I still had the belly, I had this big computer desk, and I could literally take it and try to lift it. Of course, it was so unbelievably heavy, but I could literally, like, kind of displace the weight on top of the desktop just to feel like what it feels like if it would be gone, and it was, like, crazy. It was like when the first time I was able to go to the Y and get in the pool, you know, because when you go in water, you know how water is. Water just displaces a lot of your weight. And that's why I started my main workout on my knees when I first started actually being able to move at all. I got into a pool at the Y and did, like, they had a resistance pool. In other words, they had a pool that went round in a big kind of whirlpool, and you'd walk against the
current. Oh, actually, Kyle, I need one thing with it.
Excuse me?
So we have George on the phone now.
Oh, hey. Hey, George. How you doing, bud?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
So I'm doing all right now that the Pats have retaken the lead. So.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, you're in New England now, Steve, you know, so. Hey,
it's a long game. Like you said, it's a long game.
It is a long game. But, you know, and it's not fair because we got Brady at the helm and everything. But, hey, you're sounding good. I just wanted to call and try to walk you guys through and, you know, help you out if I can with this. But I do have a question, actually. I've been, sure. As you know, I'm a teacher. And I tend to focus on obesity with kids because, I mean, I think it's something that I know as a kid I was overweight. And, you know, you sort of look at the kids who are – doing the wrong things now and are setting themselves up for, you know, a rough future, health-wise and in other ways, and trying to see if there's a way to make a difference there. I'm actually reading a book right now called Spark, and I don't have it with me, so I don't have the name of the author, but fantastic book, but it really is looking at the research that is being done, the correlation between kids exercising and increasing test scores. And I'm just wondering about your thoughts about that, or if you've looked at that, or one of the things that I've noticed are things like that are being cut because of all the pressure on testing and test scores, things like recess and phys ed, home economics, things that are really healthy and healthful types of things for kids are really the things that have been eliminated. And I would love to hear your thoughts about that and you know, see somewhat of a focus, you know, if not by you, by me, on something along that line. So if I could hear your thoughts, I would really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, and Mercedes and I were talking about that because she is in the school system, and she was saying that she was at her school her principal has initiated growing their own garden right at the school and, like, teaching how to grow their own produce and helpful stuff, and then they want to incorporate it using it in the school. But when you were talking about the exercise part, it's absolutely true. I mean, there's so many studies that have been coming out lately, and Mercedes and I were talking about the same thing, that when you incorporate a healthy breakfast, and let's not get this wrong, all these people that have always told us that breakfast is most important is absolutely true. And, you know, if you look at the brunt of our kids nowadays, they're eating Pop-Tarts, they're eating sweets and sweetened cereals and just sugar-laden stuff for breakfast. And what happens to them is they have these sugar crashes, and their concentration levels and all that just deteriorate very rapidly. And I've seen that just from my niece and nephew. If you give them a healthful breakfast, something like, say, oatmeal or oatmeal and fruit and, you know, or eggs, something that's going to give them protein or good fiber or something like that in the morning. And as we were talking, you just said, incorporate some kind of, even if it's only like 15 to 30 minutes, of some kind of activity or exercise before they go to school. They started doing a test, a recent test that I saw and read about. The scores of the testing just went through the roof of these people that eat healthily.
Stepping out in the hallway for a second.
And also exercise.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
And it's amazing. It's just unbelievably
Hello?
Amazing how how this PET scores just go right through the roof. It's just
yeah, I'll have to get you a copy of this book. It's called Spark. It's fantastic. I'm pushing through it, so when I'm done, I'll just drop it over to you. Because it really is very eye-opening as far as what our priorities are and what they're not in schools and really what they should be.
Yeah, because, so. I'm telling you, if they want better test scores, which most school systems always claim they do, that they ought to be really incorporating a nutritional plan that will actually help them be able to achieve those test scores. And I think
yeah,
across
and the, thing
the board.
Is,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the thing they're always crying about with these different programs is money. This is a no-brainer because it doesn't cost anything. It's just restructuring.
You got it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we got so much money to spend on other things. This wouldn't take a lot of expenditure. Like you said, you can rearrange costs. You can be able to give these kids. And, you know, it's interesting because when you look at other countries, and I've been able to in the last couple of years, study a couple of these other different companies in countries. Finland is one of these amazing countries that where you see how they've incorporated really healthful eating, or all the way through the class, and they have long days in school, but they eat healthful breakfast, healthful produce and veggies and fruits and stuff for lunch and all that. That they just test through the roof. Their students are going having top grades, they're going right into college. I mean, it's just like an amazing. Japan is another country where they just have tremendous success because the kids are eating well in school. And I'm not going to say that there's not obesity problems in all those countries as well, because there is, because Western diet is kind of like throughout the globe now in most of the civilized world.
Johnny, I'm going to end up taking you to the emergency room.
Right.
And so when we rely on that, you have the results, and it does. It does. It promotes. People get tired. They don't concentrate as well, and it becomes a real problem.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
So we have Earl Kennedy's on the phone now. He wanted to say hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Earl. How you doing, there, bro?
Well, I'm doing good. You know, I couldn't ask for a better day. You know, it could always be worse, and we just don't need to complain about it. So you got to keep going.
Yeah. You're feeling better, though?
Yeah, I am. I've been out of the hospital for a couple of days, though. I had that cellulitis come through where I had that blister at, and then it come through my leg, and it was pretty bad, and then other things happened, and I had to re-hospitalize, but I'm out, and I'm alive, so I'm doing good. I can't complain.
Well, that's
I believe I might have lost an extra 5 pounds in there.
Yeah, and I know how it feels. Like it's good to get back out of the hospital and kind of get back acclimated back at home and try to get back into your life schedule. At least gives you a better feeling about yourself, and you've been on a tremendous journey yourself, and you know I can't wait to be able to tell the folks a little more about you and the journey that you've been on. I mean, it's been a long one for you. You've had a lot of struggles up and down.
It has been a lot of trials and tribulations, you know, but you know it's a lot of triumph too. You know, I was 913 pounds at one time, and I was at my lowest.
Absolutely. Yep.
I didn't care, you know. I couldn't do what Biggest Loser people done. You know, I didn't even watch it back then. You know, I was just so depressed. I was.
Yeah.
Every emotion, I turned to food. When I was happy, which wasn't very often, I turned to food. When I was sad, which was nearly 24/7, I mean, food was my friend, but also my enemy. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, I just ate. I ate my emotions away. You know, I was killing myself, and I didn't know it. But,
Earl, I don't mean to impose, but did you hear what you said? You didn't know it. And that, I think, is half of the problem with Obese America and Super Obese America and why our kids are so overweight is because nobody wants to acknowledge that there's a problem.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We always seem to gravitate to something to relieve our emotions, you know. And whether it is food, or in my case it happened to be alcohol for the most part. Some people it's drugs, some people it's other things. You know, we're human. We all have those flaws, and you know, nobody's perfect. You know, that's another conversation I had with the doctor. He said, Dr. Amon, you know, he's a psychiatrist, a well-known one. And he says, you know what? Nobody's normal, especially in this country. He says, you can't find very few people that are actually, quote, unquote, normal. Everybody's got a little bit of something. So he says, you know, I don't even like to use the word normal. We're all just who we are. And we're trying to be the best person. Like Oprah says, we try to be the best person that we can be. And I think all of us are trying to do that, you know?
Yeah,
hey, Steve.
It's like this.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
So we have Carrie Trapp on the line. She'd like to say hello to you guys as well.
Okay.
Hi, Steve.
Carrie, you there?
Yes. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good, Carrie. How are you doing?
Great. I have a question for you.
Sure.
After losing the 220 pounds that I've lost, I get this question a lot, so I want to ask it to you. Where do you get your motivation and drive from?
Yeah, I was just asked by that by my trainer the other day. Because I feel that now that I know what I know that I can get myself maybe not completely optimally healthy, even though that's still my goal. I mean, that is like my ultimate goal is like not be able be on any kind of prescription drug at all anymore. I've gone from 10, I'm down to like 3, almost 2. I'm very close to being on the 2, and then when I have my surgery, it'll be hopefully none. That's one of my main goals is to just become as ultimately healthy as I can. That's a big driving motivational force. But it's the feeling that I feel now, the way that I feel. You know, before I always said that I felt like I was like 80 years old. You know, I felt like, an octogenarian. I was just like, oh my God, I can't move. I wanted to die. I really did. I was in that emotional place of just decrepitude. It was like one foot in the grave is basically what it was. And I think a lot of us have been there. And then the feeling that you have, that you are now, that you can feel your body. I mean, your body, that's the problem. You know, and I think that's what it is. When we become that bad and that sedentary and that big, we ignore the signs that our bodies are giving us. Because our bodies talk to us all the time, you know. And
right.
I did that for so long. I ignored those warning signs. And I'd get that little pain. And I'd ignore it, and I'd say, well, it's just a little pain, it'll go away. And then it was just this, and, oh, it's just a little high blood pressure, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, those things just keep building up, and it got to that point where I just let it get way gone. But the motivation now for me is trying to help others. You know, that's where my motivation comes from now, is that I know I'm so close to my own goals, that I know I'm probably going to get there as long as I stay focused. And I said in the beginning of the show, I said I also use this vision of myself, of what I ultimately, the condition I want to be in, which I'm not there yet. So that's a great driving force to me. I told Mercedes, like when I'm on my bike, I'll just close my eyes and envision what I still want to be, where I want to get to. And that helped me, and it really helped me through a lot of that pain that I had in the beginning, because I had nothing else to focus on. I could only think of the future. So when I had that first massive weight loss in that 4 months or so, like 50 pounds, that was it. I mean, that's when I finally focused and found out that was it. I had done 150 pounds. I knew right then that I could keep going. And that was such a motivating factor for me. But then immediately within 2 days, it changed over. So it became more than just me. All of a sudden, it became, in 2 days, it was like, holy cow, I think other people that are in that condition can do this too. All they need is the right information. All they need is that motivation, like say, to inspire others to make that change. You know that. You're doing that now. And I think almost any of us, including Mercedes and Kristen and all of us that are going on these journeys, we now want to help others be able to make that mind-body connection, that feeling that, you know you can change your life around and transform your life. Because a lot of us get to that hopelessness place, and then we get stuck there. And I think a lot of our country right now has gotten stuck, and they don't think they can get out, and they can get back out of the condition that they are in. You and Earl and Christy and Kristen and Dee and Amanda and all these other people that are having these great success stories are absolutely testaments that you can. And I think the more we are able to portray those stories out there and show these people to feel that our hopelessness, that is going to be it's definitely motivating for us. That's our motivating factor, is to try to help other people. But that will also maybe help those people that are in that place maybe make that change in their mind to go ahead and go for it. Because a lot of them, you know, I know I had those doubts. I mean, you had doubts, didn't you, when you started?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you start having the success, you know, and you find that drive and that self-motivation, it really helps you. And that's what I really enjoy training people now, because a lot of people, they don't have the motivation, and I kind of share with them how to get it or teach them how to get it. And once they have it, boom, they're gone. Their results are huge.
Isn't it? I know. It's like a fire in their belly or something. It really is. And it's like I was talking to Josh out in L.A. when we were at that fitness convention, because, I mean, to be sitting there with these 2,600 people from all across the globe, and they all have the same purpose. You know, they're all trainers. They're all in the business. They're all motivators, you know, and to have those people stand up and applaud me, it, like, totally blew me away. And then they wanted to sit there and come up and hug me and say, oh, my God, I can't wait to go back and tell my clients about you, because they said, your kinds of stories, those kinds of stories motivate them as trainers, which kind of blew me away. But I guess it really does in that respect, because they're able to take that with them and then take it to their clients and then be able to say, listen, there is no excuse. I mean, because, you know, as a trainer, and you probably already heard plenty of stuff, and I've talked to trainer after trainer, and everybody says, even at any time and no matter where you go, people have excuses. They always make excuses, you know.
And well, I was there once. I used to have excuses, too. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
We all had excuses at one time, and that's how we got to be the way that we were.
Sure. It's always the excuses. There's some people that aren't even that out of shape that still make the excuses. So I think sometimes sometimes our crutch. What were you going to say now? Was that you, Earl, or who was that?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, I have a saying, you know, I do a little bit of motivational speaking, even though I'm still at 430-something pounds, you know, because I've lost 480 pounds so far. And I tell people, you know, some of us, or most of us, mistake, you know, the middle of our chapter for the end of our story. And we all think that's the end of our story, but, you know, there's always tomorrow, and, you know, it's a new day. You can do it. I mean, you've lost. I've lost. I mean, anything's possible.
Absolutely. I believe it, you know. And that's the encouraging thing to the people out there in country right now, is that I think a lot of people, for them, it's seeing is believing. You know, because even with me on Facebook, when I started talking about how bad I was, I didn't even want to post pictures of myself because I was embarrassed. But it's that point where they actually see where you were, and then they see where you are, didn't do it, what's my excuse? And I hear that all the time. You know, even my trainer, she was like, you know, I've been trying to, it's been hard for me to try to get back into this whole exercise thing.
And that seems to be people out there in the country right now. I think a lot
You know, even when I look at my pictures now, I still don't see myself as those pictures show because, I mean, I'm my own worst critic. And I'm amazed looking at my pictures. I say, is that me? I'm like, holy cow, you know. I don't know, it's mind-boggling. I feel, you know, I just turned 40 in January, but, you know, losing all that weight, I feel like a 40-year-old teenager, you know. It's like, I feel like I can jump. You know, do a cartwheel. I know I can't right now, but, you know, I feel so a lot lighter on my feet.
Okay, so, Super K, you said you got another question?
You have a couple of new folks on the phone. You have Steven, and I think, who else is new to the call?
This would be Paula Jo.
Paula Jo, she wanted to say hello to you guys, and she wanted to say hello to Earl. And we have Steven DePasquale, who helped us out with producing our webisodes.
Awesome. Hello, Paula Jo.
How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good, thank
good,
you.
Good.
Steven, I just heard about your story when I called in a while ago. I happened to see Earl's post on his Facebook page. Yes, Earl, it's me. It's Shortbread. I just wanted to call in and tell both of you guys, I mean, you're phenomenal, you know.
Right.
I don't have as big an issue as all of you do. I've got 50, 60 to go, and I don't have what it takes to do any of that, which you guys have done. I mean, you guys are just amazing. You have blown me away.
I don't believe that right there. You say you don't have that, but I think almost anybody does. I mean, you just got to you got to summon up that you got to dig down deep. I know I had to dig down deep, and I kind of made that. I guess we all have to have that deep discussion with ourselves, you know. And
you
I had to be really honest. I know honesty. It was one of my big turning points for me was just to be honest, not only with myself, but actually honest with my family and everybody else too. And I think when we become accountable, not only to ourselves but our friends and our family, I think that's a big turning point. You know,
well,
I really do.
That's my issue. I'm 50 years old, and my kids just turned 9 and 14. You know, and I have a bad heart, and this extra weight, I know it's not doing me any good. And to be totally honest with you, Earl, I love every time you post something on your Facebook page, it just inspires me. And I think, okay, I can do this, you know, and something always sidetracks me. But I had to call in once I saw the post and tell you guys just how phenomenal you are, and we're behind you 100%. You know, Earl, you've got a lot of friends out here, dude. And I think it's kind of cool to be able to talk to you because of that accent of yours. You're from Oklahoma, right?
I am from Oklahoma.
See, I'm not supposed to talk to you because I'm from Texas, and you know how that goes, right? That's like Ohio State and Michigan.
Well, that's okay.
Hook 'em horns, baby. That's all I got to say.
Well, those horns aren't too sharp to hook 'em right now, so
it'll get better. It'll get better. But I don't want to take up all your time. I just wanted to call in and tell you guys, you know, I was listening to the show while I was on hold, and I'm definitely going to find you guys on Facebook, Steve, and follow the show and all of that good stuff. But I had to call in while I had a chance to tell Earl that, he's awesome, you know.
He is. He's absolutely. He's inspiring a lot of people. Absolutely.
Yes, he is.
You know, that's where I get a lot of my motivation now. I mean, I've lost, you know, like I said, 480 pounds, and it's hard to get motivation after you've done it. And like, I know I can still do it, but it's either said and done. Where I get my motivation is paying it forward. I mean, just seeing somebody else's things that they can't.
Absolutely,
you know,
I agree.
That's something cans. You know, that's something cans, not cans. You know, it's like,
yeah. So let's ask Stephen. What's your question, Stephen? How you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great.
My question: What would your advice be to a guy like me who doesn't necessarily need to lose any weight but wants to maintain a healthy lifestyle?
Well, first of all, you know, especially someone like you, I would just first of all evaluate and find out what are those foods actually that you know are the ones that are detrimental maybe to your overall health. Now, I know all of us have these go-to foods that, and you can't eliminate them all because I haven't even eliminated them all. You know, like Kristen and I, we have this semi-addiction to this granola stuff by Eat, Think, Smile. We call it Coco Crack, but it's actually granola clusters. And it's not I mean, it is healthy in a little bit of ways, but it's still chocolate and cocoa and whatever. But we're always going to have those little go-to. And I say don't get rid of them all because it's not about deprivation either. But maybe identify some of those foods that you know that you could cut back on and try to incorporate some more healthful foods. And in your case, I think in your case, it's more of just about the physical fitness part. I mean, toning and relying maybe on some more protein-based foods. Because if you're in your condition, I think it's more about bodybuilding and muscle building and stuff like that. To get in a finer physical shape than you are already. I think overall your health is probably good, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it's relatively good. That's what my physician says, at least.
Yeah, and your metabolism is that it's probably not like mine. You know, I mean, I have to now physically. That's why I keep working and keep working out because I want to keep that. Keep that metabolism going because mine is so that if you don't keep that doing it, it just kind of like it's lethargic. It kind of slows down, and I know that will probably be the case that I will just have to keep on using that as a regular tool for the rest of my life, especially to maintain it because Oprah is the one that says, you know, it's one thing to take it off. But really, the hardest part is to keep and maintain that, you know. And
absolutely.
And I think everyone has, like, you know, you got that 25 pounds you can play with. You know, once you get around your goal, you got that 25 to 30 pounds that you can, like, kind of play up and down with. I was just talking to someone at a softball game, and they had lost a lot of weight. They had a weight loss surgery, but they had put, like 30 pounds back on. And he said, you know, I feel so bad I put 30 back on. But I think that's still correctable, you know, and it is, and he admitted it. You know, it's because he goes back to those certain foods that kind of gave him problems to begin with. And we all kind of do that. We all always fall back off the wagon here and there. But then I think if we maintain 80% good, and I keep telling even people that are starting, if you can keep and maintain an 80% healthful eating style, then maybe you're doing way more better than you are bad. So, I mean, like I said, we're not all perfect, but I think if we can do a little better at doing that, I think we all will get healthier. I don't know if I answered it correctly for you, but...
No, you answered it perfectly. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. All right, so who else we have? Kristen. You got another question for us?
Yeah, this is Roderick Wilmore here.
Hey, Roderick, how you doing, bud?
Oh, great. How you doing?
Absolutely great.
As a listener and never mind the host for Diamond in the Rough.
Yeah. Oh.
So I understand we're talking about health tonight, and it's, you know, I agree where... you know, our concerns for maintaining our living in an energetic and healthy way. There's so much focus on exercise, but much of what we do is eating, because we may spend an hour or so, maybe longer, in the gym, but the greater part of our day is involved with, you know, things that we may consume.
Absolutely.
We have to be more watchful of that, and I certainly agree with your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, nutrition is, and it, you know what, and that's where I, when I started my research and started delving into the, everything that I was doing, I saw where nutrition across the board, and it didn't matter what doctor I started reading. You know, I started with Dr. Angel Weil, of course, Dr. Oz, Dr. Kessler, the former head of the FDA, Dr. Joel Fuhrman, eventually my mentor now, Dr. Daniel Amen, his book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Body. I recommend that to anybody, not only with weight, but illness and chronic disease, depression, across the board. But every single one of these doctors say that nutrition plays such a vital, vital part of our lives because it's our fuel. It is what our body relies on to stay, sustain us and keep us alive. And
yeah.
And you know, frankly, in this society nowadays, and especially in this country, we are so set up in a system for us to actually fail. You know, that's why 80 to 85% of us are failing right now, because it's just overprocessed crap that really is not giving us the true nutrients, the true nutritious vitamins and minerals and all that stuff that we really need. And it seems like across the board, when I see these great success stories, they've had these major health problems. I mean, even doctor's wife, Tana, they all, you know, you seem to get these people that really, like, gravitate towards nutrition and then start to promote it. Seems to be that these people have gotten to that place where they had to do their own research on their own. Because, frankly, and I don't want to even harp on this, but, you know, doctors as a whole, they don't preach nutrition. You know, that's one of those things I kind of like about Mrs. Obama's Let's Move program. I'm not saying that it's completely great across the board. But one of those things she has in that thing, when you read through it, is that she thinks that doctors should prescribe nutrition and fitness more often than they do prescription medications. Because, frankly, that's how they were curing or supposedly trying to treat me, was with a handful of drugs. And, you know,
so is it true that we really should understand our bodies then?
Absolutely. My gosh, yes. You know, and I think even more education in the school. And they're starting, like my niece just asked me if I would come down and do a talk, because their PE class is talking about nutrition and fitness. But I agree. I think we should start teaching these kids about how our bodies rely on nutrition and how nutrition is so vital. I mean, fitness is a great thing, and you've got to use that as a tool as well. But like you said, we rely on the nutritional part. Our intake is the main brunt of how we sustain and how, I mean, it's Hippocrates, you know, the father of modern medicine, is his famous saying, and he has many. And it's the oath that these doctors take. The sad fact is that the doctors never really study Hippocrates and really understand. He was the mother or the father of modern medicine, and he said, let the medicine be thy food and food be thy medicine. And I think we need to start really relying that good, whole, nutritious, safe foods can actually heal us of a lot of the conditions that we have, because a lot of them are lifestyle related. You know, cancer and heart disease and all that stuff. It's from the way we eat and what we intake, you know? And if we would start to rely more on better nutrition, I think
we would
have
really,
food
is really our fuel then, like gas is to cars.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely correct. Yep. And the viruses that we get are usually from the things that we don't do correctly. And then the viruses and the diseases start creeping in because we're not putting the right nutrients and the body's not getting the nutrition that it needs. And then the body starts rebelling, you know, and that's, I think that's the brunt of what we do is, and the conditions that we have are related to that. Unfortunately, I think, I don't know, even know if this will go on, although they keep telling me that the show is about to end, because we had it slated for 60 minutes. I don't know if it will actually go on beyond that or if it will actually cut us off.
You have a few new people on air that would like to maybe say hello or ask a question. Mary,
Hello.
Oh, hi, Mary. How you doing?
Oh, hi. Good. How are you?
Very good.
You're doing a fabulous job.
Well, it's just a dry run, but it's working. We're a little hectic, but it's working. That's all I can say right now. Do you have a question?
Do I have a question? Well, not really. I just wanted to call and say that, you know, you're doing a great job, and I look forward to working with you guys, and that you need to speak up a little. I can't hear you.
I know. You know, I think it's this crappy phone, and I'm going to have to start, like, actually yelling in it. I got this Kristen calls it my ghetto phone, my ghetto iPhone, and I think
hey,
that's exactly... I think that's exactly what it is that it's not an iPhone. It's not an iPhone. So, yes, I have to.
I know that.
Well,
Kristen
is it
and
an
I,
Android by chance?
Kristen
yes,
and
it
I
is.
Have iPhones.
How did you
yes.
know?
Wow. The iPhones aren't in the big green budget just yet, but we'll get you one very soon.
Yes,
I
and you can
so.
Then be part of our little cult that we have here. Now, is that Earl
yes.
on the phone?
Yeah,
yes, we have Earl Kennedy.
Hi, nice to meet
you,
Earl. I'm Mary.
Not me.
How's it going?
Well, it's going. It's going pretty good. It could be worse, so I'm just going to smile.
Okay, well, smiling is good. It's healthy and happy, and it's good for your face value. So, well, I won't tie up the line anymore. I just wanted to call and say hi, and he'll just give you a whoop-whoop.
Are you at home actually?
I'm actually on my way home from bowling.
Oh,
so
you don't know this. Then you don't know the score of the game, do you?
Actually, they have it down at the bowling alley. They had it on. So the Dolphins are losing. I'm sorry, sweetheart. New England rules. Okay. Well, on that note,
goodbye.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Man. So, anybody else have any questions, Carrie, Earl?
I don't have a question.
No, great job, Steve.
Well, I think we've gone beyond our time anyway, so I think we will sign out for now. I think it did not go that bad as our first little dry run. Like I said, stay tuned on Wednesday for our guest, Mercedes Dunn. She's my personal trainer right now from Anytime. We'll be able to talk with a little bit about her and her training and Anytime, and even maybe we'll even talk a little bit about the her school system and what they're trying to incorporate with gardening and incorporating healthful food in the school system. It's one of the things I totally believe in that I think we should be doing more on a basis, maybe even on a national basis. It would surely get us steered in the right direction, and that's hopefully what this show is going to be able to do with everybody. So for now, we're going to kind of let it go, and I like to use my little famous saying that I say all the time, is that peace and love plus health equal harmony, and I want you guys to be well out there and keep striving for better health, and this is your host, Steve, Sir Drop-A-Lot Nicander, hopefully yours until next time. Goodbye. Good things for you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Kristen.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.